Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
This morning, we come to one of the most important all of Scripture, no piece of Scripture is more important than the other, but I think this particular passage, these three passages we're going to look at this morning, is one of the most crucial for where we live and when we live today. We come to a passage where Jesus says, and I'm paraphrasing, we'll get to this in a moment, but where Jesus says, not everybody that thinks they belong to me actually belong to me. And my prayer this morning for us is this, that those who belong to Jesus will be absolutely sure that they belong to Jesus by the time we get done walking through the Scripture this morning. And that those who don't belong to Jesus will be absolutely sure that they don't belong to Jesus as a result of us walking through the Scripture together this morning. That those who don't will repent and believe and then be able to assuredly say, I belong to Jesus. That is my prayer for us this morning. And so I want to pray before we even begin this morning. I want you to pray with me that the waters will not be muddied this morning. That God's word will be communicated clearly and concisely, and that those who belong to Jesus will be assured of their salvation, and that those who don't will be spurred on to place faith in Him alone. This morning, would you pray with me? Bow your heads. Father, we love You. God, we ask that You would do a supernatural work, something that only You can do this morning, which is make those of us who belong to You more like You. We pray that You would convict those who don't of their sin and Your righteousness and their absolute dependency upon Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We pray that it would be absolutely clear where we stand with You for every individual here and within earshot this morning, and that we would respond appropriately. Praise and adoration as Your children, if we are that, and belief and repentance for those who don't yet belong to You, Father. We love You and we ask that You would be glorified by everything we do this morning. Amen. So if you want to follow along in your bulletin, there's a note guide there. If you're a note taker, it may help you. If you're not, you can just follow along in the Word. I'm going to read the passage. We're going to pull three pieces of truth out of it this morning. And you'll notice that usually when we look at, if you look at your Bible, chapter 7, we usually hear these three passages, the tree and its fruit about false prophets, the passage of I never knew you, where Jesus says, not everyone who cries out, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And then the passage about building our house on the rock or on the sand. We usually hear these separately, but they're together in the Word. And there's nothing wrong with teaching them separately, but I want us to hear them together this morning. So follow along with me. Verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in Your name, and cast out demons in Your name, and do many mighty works in Your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone, then, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Amen. First piece of truth this morning, going to come out of these verses 15 through 20. Not everyone who teaches about Jesus belongs to Jesus. We could put it this way. Not everybody that claims to be a preacher and a pastor and a teacher of the Bible is actually a Christian, a Christ follower. We see that in the first verse, verse 15. Beware of false prophets. In other words, there are some who claim they're false. They are putting on a facade to be something that they are not. Some knowingly, and I believe some today, unknowingly, teaching and preaching falsely about who Jesus is. They are claiming to be something they are not, and they, because of that, are deceitful and dangerous. Jesus says, they come to us in sheep's clothing. In other words, Jesus identifies us all, his followers, those who belong to his kingdom, as sheep. They come to us as one of us. But inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. Wolves who intend to harm and ravage the church. Those of us who participated in secret church, the topic of teaching this year was cults and counterfeit gospels. And we heard about what Mormons believe and the Jehovah's Witnesses believe. We heard of the official teaching of the Catholic Church. We heard of the prosperity gospel preachers and churches. We heard of some of the theological liberal preachers and churches. And each one of these, and there's a list more. That's just what we touched on Friday night in about 6 or 7 hours worth of teaching. But each one of those puts up a front as if it is Christian, but what it teaches is not found in the Bible, or at least a portion of it is not. So it's here. It's all around us. It's even in our Baptist churches. Well-meaning preachers, and I pray that I don't do this, plead with people to walk an aisle, plead with people to pray a prayer, plead with people to be baptized so that they might be saved. And what they are teaching is works-based salvation, and that's not the gospel. Jesus does all the work. And so Jesus says there are false prophets. Beware of them. Keep an eye out for them. You will recognize them, which is a good thing. They are identifiable. Verses 16 and 20 says you will recognize them by their fruit. Verse 20, he says it again. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. They are identifiable. Praise God. Verses 17 and 18. We see what kind of fruit they bear. It is bad fruit in verse 17. Bad trees, diseased trees, bear bad fruit. A healthy tree, a good tree, bears good fruit and cannot bear bad fruit. So what do we do with this fact that there are false teachers and preachers in our world? That some of them may even be found in our churches. Some of them are meaning to be this. Some of them are unknowingly this. What do we do? Jesus gives us two directions. He says, beware, have a watchful eye. We see this throughout Scripture. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah 23, Jesus warns again in Matthew 24. The apostles warn in Acts 20. Peter warns in 2 Peter 3. John warns in 1 John 4. Paul warns Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. And there's a couple of simple questions we can ask about those who teach us, those who preach to us, those who pastor us and lead us in the church. There's a couple of simple questions about as parents and grandparents, what we teach our children about God and His Word? Can I trace the truths, the principles, the directions that are being given back to the Bible? So an example of that is not everyone who teaches about Jesus belongs to Jesus. We can trace that back to verse 15. Beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, claiming to be of Jesus, but they're ravenous wolves. They do not belong to Jesus. Do you see it? So we can trace it back. So can I trace the truths and principles and directions that are given to me back to the Bible? Is there encouragement and conviction and a resulting Christ-likeness as a result of the teaching and preaching of these people in God's people? Are God's people more like Jesus as a result of that teaching? And in unbelievers, is there a conviction of sin and a conviction of God's righteousness? We can ask those three questions. Can I trace it back? Do God's people actually become more like Jesus? Does the Holy Spirit use it to make them more like Jesus in their lives? And do unbelievers, are they convicted or would they be convicted of their sin and of God's righteousness as a result of that teaching and preaching? The answer is no, no, no. The answer is also false prophet. You with me? Okay. So the other thing we do is we beware, and it may seem like, okay, we should be worried about this, but we also trust Jesus to take care of them. So we watch out for them. We protect ourselves from them. We protect our families from them. Parents, we protect our children from them. We protect our church from them. And we trust God to take care of them eventually. Verse 19, it says, they will be cut down and thrown into the fire. God will take care of those who are leading His astray. So we can trust. So this brings us to a conclusion here. If there are false teachers, if there are those who claim to be of Jesus and are teaching about Jesus that do not belong to Jesus, then something else is also happening in our world. There are also people who are following those teachings that think they belong to Jesus that don't actually belong to Jesus. So our next truth piece is this. Not everyone who confesses to follow Jesus belongs to Jesus. So we get down to the next portion, verses 21 through 23. Y'all still with me? Okay. All right. Verses 21. Read it with me. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm just going to pause right there for a second. Jesus tells us right here, there's going to be a whole bunch of people that call Jesus Lord, that confess to follow Him, that say they belong to Him in our world, that say they are Christians. And Jesus plainly and clearly says, not everyone who comes to me and cries out, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That, if I can just be completely transparent with you right now, that grieves my heart for Southwest Georgia. There are people driving up and down our streets every day, people running our businesses, people doing business in Cairo and living in Cairo and making home in Cairo. Every day, that one day they will cry out, Lord, Lord. And with all the heart, they will believe that they belong to Him. And He will look at them and He will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. As a church in Cairo, that should grieve us. It should make us pause. And first, examine our own hearts. And secondly, say, what kind of gospel am I preaching? What kind of gospel is my church preaching? It should alarm us. These are the last words of the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached. These are the last words of it. The last three points Jesus makes. One of them is that everyone who thinks they belong to Him does not actually belong to Him. Confession with our mouth does not equal salvation. So many people have placed faith in something they have done. They have placed faith in a prayer they have prayed, like an incantation or a magic formula. Say these words and you will be saved. And their faith is not in Christ and His perfect life, His sacrificial death and His glorious resurrection. Their faith is in what they have done, repeated after someone else, a prayer they hope will save them. Confession with our mouth, out of Jesus' words, confession with our mouth does not equal salvation from damnation, from an eternal hell. Many will say to Him, Lord, Lord. Verse 22, they will plead with Him, but Jesus, I belong to you. Verse 22, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works, many mighty works in your name? So not only does confession with our mouth not equate to salvation, but religious church busyness does not equate to salvation. We must listen to Jesus' words here. Please hear them carefully. This means that not every preacher, not every Sunday school teacher, not every deacon, not every choir member, not every church member actually belongs to Jesus. It means that upon His return, they will be expecting to see their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but it will be absent. Regardless of their confession and regardless of their church activity, their name will be absent. This means that a man or woman could go throughout his or her life calling him or herself a Christian, believing he belongs to Jesus, attending church, raising a good family, having a good marriage, even going on mission trips, respected in his community as an honest, hardworking American, making an honest living, paying his bills, maybe even paying his tithe, but still on judgment day, he or she will stand before Jesus and hear the words, I never knew you. That's religious activity. That's the same thing as them saying, but Jesus, we did many mighty works in your name. Surely we will enter the kingdom of heaven because of that. Has your attention gotten by Jesus this morning? I hope it makes us beg the question this morning, who then does belong to Jesus? Who will enter the kingdom of heaven on that day? Whose names are written in the book of life? How can I know? Can I even know that my name is in the Lamb's book of life? That I am saved? That I am secure in Christ alone? It begs the question. And praise God, Jesus didn't end His sermon here, but He had one more thing to say. You still with me? Truth is three. I want to read the verse first. Verse 24. Look at verse 21 first. He says, not everyone who... So there's a group of people. Not all of them will be this. But then he gets down to verse 24. And oh, these are such wonderful words from the mouth of Jesus. He changes the tone and he says, everyone then who... So he's about to tell us about a group of people that all of them have something in common. Every one of them. He says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall. Because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Look at verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on that rock. Everybody in this group that Jesus is talking about hears the words of Jesus, obeys the words of Jesus, and that group of people, for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, their names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. For sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, they belong to Jesus. For sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, when they stand before God Almighty, they won't be covered in their sin. They will be cleansed by His blood and stand there in His righteousness. These people. So we have to know what this means. What are these words that Jesus says? If we hear them and obey Him, these words, we will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. What are those words? This is where context is so important. If we zoom out, we see that we're at the end of a sermon that Jesus is preaching. And so it would do us well to assume that the words he's speaking of are the words in that very sermon. The Sermon on the Mount, starting in chapter 5, if you haven't been with us the last several weeks. Everyone who obeys, hears those words in the Sermon on the Mount and obeys them belongs to Jesus. So, if we can summarize what he said so far in the Sermon on the Mount quickly. I want you to listen to this and take it in. Those who hear these words and obey these words belong to Jesus. He wants his people to be bright and salty in a dark and tasteless world, not for their own attention and glory, but for his. He wants you and me to trust Jesus' righteousness, his perfect life, his sacrificial death on the cross, his resurrection completely, and nothing that we do for our own salvation. He wants us to love and pray for those who have mistreated, taken advantage, abused, and persecuted us and you as an individual and me as an individual. He wants me and you to be absolutely, absolutely sexually pure in our bodies, in our hearts, in our minds. He wants those of us who are married to be absolutely faithful in our bodies, our hearts, and our minds to our spouse. He wants our yeses to always end up in yes and our noes to always mean no. He wants us to value the treasure of heaven more than anything or anyone or any fame on this earth. He wants us to so completely trust God the Father that in the midst of the worst circumstances, the worst storm, the worst wind and rain, as he says in this passage, that in the midst of that, the worst case scenario, that our heart doesn't become anxious, but we simply trust him. He wants us to be there with him. He wants us to judge ourselves first with the same measure that we judge others. He wants us to actually love God more than anything or anyone else. He wants us to actually want Him, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, to be glorified more than ourselves or anybody else. He wants us to live that kind of life. And we read these words and we hear the words at the end of the sermon. Everyone who hears these words and does obey them, those people will enter the kingdom of God. And this is the part where we cry out, impossible! And Jesus would say, exactly. You cannot do it. Those standards, an absolutely pure heart, love of our enemies, those standards, actually desiring at every moment of our lives that God be glorified more than me, it's impossible. If that's the case, I can't get into heaven. And that's why Jesus in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except for me. He doesn't say, I am the way and some of the things you do are also the way. You put them together and you get in. He says, I'm the way. What I have done in my life, my death and resurrection, that is the way. You say, well, it's still impossible. I still don't know how I'm going to obey these things. And we keep reading through the New Testament. We get to a portion of Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 13, and we hear the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, say this. All things are possible through who? Christ, who strengthens me. So we learn from the whole counsel of God that, yes, it is impossible to meet the standard of God. But yes, He will give us His strength so that we can continually become more and more, little by little, more like Jesus. So the question is, how do I get on the way? How do I get on Jesus, on His coattails, and ride them into heaven, and not try to do it on my own power, or partially on my power, but completely trust in Him? How do I get to the point where I have a relationship with Him where He enables me to obey Him, and He actually gives me the desire to want to obey Him? How? And the Bible teaches very clearly. Believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It actually happened. Jesus actually lived a perfect life for us. He actually died sacrificially on a cross for us. And He actually rose from the dead and is still living today in heaven, 3 days after He died. We believe that. And the Bible uses another word. It says, believe and repent. In other words, when we believe that, we realize something. Jesus had to do this for me. I couldn't achieve even a part of it on my own. So I come to Him as a beggar. You can picture it as a soldier who was once fighting against Him. I come to Him as a soldier to the King of Kings, and I bow my body and my head before Him and say, I give up. My life is yours. I need your life. I need your death. I need your resurrection. We don't do anything. We believe and we surrender. That's it. You may say this morning, I'm not sure if I've gotten that point yet. If I got it right when I did, I know I'm not perfect now. How can I know? And I would say, we know by these words. Jesus says, those who hear these words and do these words will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. So if you say this morning, I'm not sure if I actually belong to Jesus, I would say two things. I'd ask you two things. What is the desire, the position of your heart? If the desire and the position of your heart is surrendered, in other words, you are bowing consistently, bowing before Jesus, and you want to obey Him. You don't always get it right, but you want to obey Him. People that don't belong to Jesus don't have that heart position. So an important question for you to ask yourself this morning is, do you actually desire to obey Him? And another question this morning I would ask you this morning is, if you've been following Jesus, or you think you've been following, maybe you've been following Jesus for a length of time, then there will be fruit in your life. Not fruit of church attendance, or that should be there. Not fruit of just things that you can do in your power, but impossible fruit. The kind of fruit that leads us to love and pray for those who have abused us. The kind of fruit where Jesus whittles away impurity that we thought we could never stop thinking about those things in our minds. And He slowly begins the work of purification in our hearts and minds. And day by day by day, our hearts and our minds look more like Jesus when it comes to our sexual purity. Impossible by the world's standards. Impossible by our own effort. But the one who is following Jesus, not all at once, but day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, we should be able to look back on our lives and see some fruit hanging that without Jesus, it would have never been there. And if we see that fruit of our lives, sure, maybe some seasons it was absent, but Lord, continue to convict us of sin and whittle sin out of our lives, and He's still doing it today. When we see that fruit and we We know the position of our heart. We know that Jesus has us. And we hear the words this morning of Jesus. Everyone who hears these words and obeys them, their life is like the house that is built on the rock. The storm comes. The rain falls. The wind blows, and the house is still standing there because it's not standing on stilts of our own works, but it is standing on the rock of Jesus. Amen. Jesus' words should shock us to pay attention, but here they should comfort us, especially believers, so much. Because we can know that we belong to Him. We can know on the day that He returns, we will be told, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," because of the work He's done in our lives. You may say, "Well, Pastor, I'm not there yet." None of us are. All of us still have stuff that He's taking out of our life and stuff that He's putting into our lives. And that's when we read another verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says this to the church at Philippi. He says, "And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." This brings us to our question this morning. What is your life built upon? The rock of Jesus alone. Or is it built on sand? Have you trusted in some prayer you prayed, walking down the aisle, getting baptized, your church membership, your grandmama's holiness, some other kind of work, but not completely in Jesus? I have such good news for you today. If that is you, it is not condemnation for you. It is an invitation for you to surrender your heart to Jesus like a beggar, like a soldier who's been fighting but is giving up. Jesus, save me. That is the call to you this morning. And you can do that this morning. We would love to celebrate that with you this morning. If you want to come forward in the service, you can do that. If you have questions about what that means after the service, we would love to talk with you, but you got to tell somebody so we can actually talk with you. But isn't it so good of Jesus that He would speak to those who think they are His, that are not His, and say, "This is how you know you're mine, and this is how you know you're not. And if you're not, start building your house today on His work." So if that's you today, you can surrender your house. You can stop listening to me at this moment. Bow your head and surrender your life now. If you're here, you're a believer this morning, then isn't it so good that Jesus gives us this blessed assurance? After He says, "Not everyone," then He says, "Everyone who does this belongs to me." And He's an even better of God our Father to say, "I'm not going to expect them to earn it because I know they can't. I'm going to have my Son do it for them. And all they have to do is trust Him. And as they trust Him, I'm going to give them a way to look at their lives, to look at their hearts, and know that they belong to me." We can sing loudly this morning to the praise and glory of God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord because of the assurance He gives us, church. But we can also pray for our friends, our family, our neighbors that think they belong to Him, but don't, that He would convict them of their sin and His righteousness, and they would come to a point of belief and repentance, surrender their lives. I'm going to pray. If you're a believer here this morning, you've been assured of your salvation, praise God of that. I hope you have. If you're not and you have questions, I hope you will tell somebody and ask questions. If you're not and you know you need to give your life to Him today, I pray that you would. Pray with me. Father, we love You. We want to obey You. We want to know that we know that we know that we belong to you. And we thank you so much that in your word, you warn us and then you give us assurance. You gave us Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection, and you give us your word to assure us that we believe and we have been adopted into your family. God, we thank you for that. Lord, we pray for the hearts of those who are here this morning or within earshot this morning that don't belong to you. We pray that you would assure them of that fact, and that fact would change to the fact that they would surrender their lives and belong to you because of the work of Jesus in their life. We pray. We ask for that in Jesus' name this morning. Pray that you would be glorified by our singing this morning. We pray that you would be glorified by our leaving and our whatever we do for the rest of this day this morning. And we pray that we wouldn't just know that we belong to you, but we pray that our community would know that we belong to you. That we would be salt and light. In your holy name I pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
Jesus.